When everybody would leave, she always laughed. She said, every time I finish a funeral playing, said and looked back, said everybody gets up and leaves. But when everybody else would leave and I'd be cutting out the lights to go out to the procession, she played that song. And she played it because she knew that I needed the encouragement to do what the Lord wanted me to do. Hi, baby. I don't know if that's my number one fan, but he's close. And one of the joys the Lord has given us in our older times is a young grandchild, and we're thankful for that, and thankful for all of you all. I'm delighted that Pete and Jimmy's going to be grandparents. I just think that's just wonderful. And I'm glad for everybody that, you know, I thank the Lord for being with us, and pray He'll give us some time that we don't have to push so hard and maybe can go a little easier. Do you reckon? Maybe the Lord will help us do that. Let's read the scripture for the morning lesson today from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 19, verses 1 through 10. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was of a little stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and he came down, and he received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Praise be unto God for the reading and the hearing of His precious and of His eternal word. I have to tell you what I want to talk about today. I want to talk about religion versus salvation. You can have a good dose of religion and not have a speck of salvation. You can have salvation and not jump through all the hoops of religion. But as I thought about it, I thought about how am I going to convey to the congregation and those that are listening beyond, how am I going to convey to them the importance of having a salvation experience in your life versus a religious experience. Now, there are all kinds of religious experiences going on in the world. And if you want to gauge religious experiences, they're pretty good, pretty powerful. People are having all kinds of carryings on. I've been to all kinds of Pentecostal and other kinds of quote-unquote religious experience places, and all kinds of weird things happen. People just do all kinds of things in the name of the Lord. So it's amazing sometimes to watch people, how it comes out. But if you think about it, folks, a Tibetan monk up in Tibet on the way from India to China has a religious experience. Fact is, they have one that'll make you drop your teeth if you had false teeth. Every once in a while, one of them monks will get up there and meditate, and he'll levitate. He'll actually come off the ground. And you say, how is that? Well, I'm not sure how it is. I don't know if a demon comes to do it or if it's a metaphysical thing that we don't know about, but it happens. You say, well, then we all ought to become Buddhists. No, we ought not. You cannot confuse a salvation experience with a religious experience. When you have a salvation experience, my friend, it begins in your heart and in heaven, and it comes together with the power of God, and it changes your life. You'll never be the same person again. And that's why Nicodemus was so dumbfounded when Jesus said to him, "You must be born again." And now we take that term for granted in America. We're full of Pentecostal churches and Baptist churches and Methodist churches, and we and other people, Catholics, Episcopalians, they use the term born again. And we talk about being born again. Well, we take it for granted. But the first time that was uttered was when Jesus talked to Nicodemus and told him he must be born again. And Nicodemus said, "I'm an old man. How can I enter a second time into my mother's womb and be born again?" Well, Jesus began to explain to him a birth that comes from heaven. We have an earthly birth, a watery birth from our mother in this earth, but we need to have a heavenly birth, one that comes from our heavenly Father. Well, in thinking about all of that, I thought about Mr. Nicodemus. No, Mr. Zacchaeus. I knew I'd do that. I knew I'd cross the two names up. Mr. Zacchaeus. Mr. Zacchaeus was not anybody that you would admire. Earl, you wouldn't have wanted him to have been your mentor. He was a bad boy. He's a little fella, wasn't too tall, anything like that, but he was very rich, very, very rich. Now, that can get you resented by the population because people are jealous, but that wasn't why that they didn't like Mr. Zacchaeus. And you say, why? Well, it wasn't because he was rich. It was because of the way he got rich. Now, he's a publican. We run into that term all the time in the Bible. So-and-so was a publican. Not a republican, but a publican. And you say, well, what was a publican? Who was a publican? He was a tax collector. Now, you have to understand that what he had done, he had purchased from the Romans a district or territory, which included the Holy Land, that he was over. He wasn't just any tax collector. He was the chief. He was the chief tax collector. And you say, well, that's not so bad. Well, we don't feel that way about the Commissioner of Revenue in Parishburg. She's just one of us. We don't feel that way about the clerk of the court. She's just one of us. But in that day and time, something was wrong. Now, Zacchaeus is a Jew. He is a son of Abraham by birth, and they think that qualifies him for heaven, actually. Fact is, the rabbis in the days that Jesus was here taught us that Gentiles, by the way, that's you guys, that Gentiles were fodder for hell, just something to make the fires of hell burn brighter. That's a horrible thing to say about any human being, isn't it? But that's the way they felt. Zacchaeus is the chief tax collector. That means he is collecting taxes from the people to pay their dues to the Roman government. Now, the Roman government is a heathen government. This means that Zacchaeus is always in contact with the heathen, with the Gentiles. Zacchaeus is a traitor to his country, because he is collecting the taxes that their armies are putting down on him, and you could be killed. You could be crucified or stabbed or beat to death or put in prison. All kinds of things the Romans could do to you and to your community, to your family, to make you pay the taxes. It was horrible, and it kept them down, kept them from prospering, kept them from getting anything done. So everybody hates the tax collector. Now, they hate him for another reason, because the Romans do not send a tax collector out to each little place to collect it. Zacchaeus has purchased from the Romans a district. And in his district, he appoints all his subordinate tax collectors. And you say, well, so they collect the tax. Yes, First of all, they don't collect it in anything that the people in Israel can have. They collect it in foreign currency that has a picture of Caesar on it, who is worshipped in Rome as a god. So that's a graven image. They cannot even take that into the temple and give it in the offering on the Sabbath day, because it has a graven image on it. And so they don't know what to do with it. So they hate him for that. They hate him for this even worse. Rich and poor hate him alike. And you say, for what? Because suppose you owe $10 for taxes this year. Ha, ha, ha. But suppose you owed $10 for taxes this year, and you come up to pay your taxes to Mr. Zacharias, and he says, well, that'll be $11. Now you have to have $10 for the Romans. He's already getting a kickback from the Romans on that. But he adds a dollar to it himself, and you don't have much choice but to pay it. You have to pay it. So he adds to it. So in the end, he is robbing poor and rich alike in his own country. He's robbing his own countrymen for the Romans, for these heathen people. So it's a horrible thing. And he's the chief tax collector. He's the chief publican. So everybody hates him. Nobody likes him. He lives up on the west side of a place called Jericho. Jericho is down by the river of Jordan, where it goes into the Red Sea. And it's the city of dates. It has palm trees. You have to understand, it's 18 miles from Jericho to Jerusalem. You say, well, that's not very far. No, but it's almost 4,000 feet difference in elevation. That means that at Jerusalem, up here on the mountaintop, do you realize there's no place on earth you can go down to Jerusalem from? If you go to the Holy Land and go to Jerusalem, you have to go up, because it's on top of a mountain. That's why we sing, on top of Mount Zion is a city. You have to go up. So it's 18 miles, and it's a torturous road. We used to sing a song about the Jericho Road, and it has to go like this, switchbacks and turns and all of that. And robbers and thieves lay among the rocks and the hills beside of it. And if you're fool enough to walk up or down that road without an escort, you're going to be robbed, or worse. Remember the story of the Good Samaritan? That was on the Jericho Road. Man was going from Jerusalem down to Jericho, and as he went, he went by himself, and he was very foolish for that. He was robbed, he was beaten, and he was left naked by the side of the road, half dead, the Bible said. Terrible thing. Well, Zacchaeus lives in Jericho. He chooses where he lives because he's rich and he can. So he lives on the upper northwestern side of Jericho. Now, he's not the only person that lives in Jericho. It just happens, one of my favorite stories, don't you like Bible stories a lot? One of my favorite stories is this one. On the east side, next to the Jordan River, down on the slum area, down where people don't have very much, there is a beggar that sits beside the road every day, and his name is Bartimaeus. And Bartimaeus every day begs for food, and whatever he gets in his cup, whatever coins or whatever he gets, that's all he has. He doesn't have Social Security or welfare or anything like that. He's down on his luck. He's blind as can be. And he's just down there at the mercy of all the people who come by. Now, as he sits there every day, he's blind, but his sense of hearing is wonderful. And he listens as all the people go by. And in our story today, it's springtime. It's time of the Passover. All of the people from all over the world, and especially from Judea and Galilee, are on their way to Jerusalem for what? The Passover, their greatest feast. They're on their way to celebrate the Passover. Now, they didn't have to come this way, by the way. They could have gone straight from Galilee and northern Israel right across Samaria and into Jerusalem on the high country. Would have been an easy road, been a nice road. They put themselves out to go extra miles down the hill, along the Jordan River, and then 18 miles back up the other side to get to Jerusalem. Now, as they go along, this is a good time for a beggar. Everybody's feeling religious. Everybody's feeling like they ought to give to the poor. So as Bartimaeus sits by the side of the road and shakes his cup and hollers, "Help the blind, help the blind." So they do. But as they do it, this spring day, Bartimaeus has problems. It's louder than usual. It's more joyful than usual. Now, the people are in the habit of singing as they go to church. You know, I grew up like that. Sometimes we lived over on the other side of the mountain. Sometimes we didn't have a way to church, a ride. You say, "Well, I guess you just didn't get to go to church." No. Mommy and Aunt June, whoever else was with us, we'd get our stuff together, and out the door we'd come, go walk down by the Celanese and around the mountain and come over here to church. And when church was over, we walked back that night. And as we walked, they would sing. And I can hear them singing now. "There's a bright light somewhere, and I won't stop praying till I find it." And I can hear them singing, "The Lord will make a way somehow." And we'd walk to church. Well, that's what these people did. They were walking from everywhere down to Jerusalem, or up to Jerusalem, down to Jericho and up to Jerusalem. And as they go along, they're singing. We actually know the songs they're singing. They were singing the Psalms of Ascent. Wonder why they're called that? Because they sang them as they went up to Jerusalem. And as they go up, they're singing, they're rejoicing. And Bartimaeus is sitting by the road in his blindness, and he senses all of this that's going on. It's exciting. Something unusual is happening. So he asks, "What's going on? What's happening?" Said, "Oh, Jesus, the carpenter from Nazareth, the one who claims to be the Messiah, he's come and he's on his way to Jerusalem from the Passover." Well, that's all that Bartimaeus needs to hear. He just begins to yell and holler at the top of his voice, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." And somebody said, "Shh, be still. Don't you know he's preaching? Don't you know he's talking? He don't want to hear you hollering out like that. Be still." And the more they try to shut him up, the louder he gets. Boy, I wish I could get that to catch on with God's people. The more the devil tries to shut you up, the louder you get. Well, they begin to tell Bartimaeus to be quiet, but he didn't. He just kept on hollering. And Jesus finally stopped and looked at him as if he just now discovered him, and asked him what he wanted. What would you think a blind man beside the road would want? Well, Jesus asked him, and he said, "Oh, that he could receive his sight." And he instantly, at that moment, healed him. Well, he's so happy. Somebody said, "I don't think you ought to jump and shout around in church. Have you ever been blind and healed from it? Have you ever been sick and been completely and totally healed from it?" This man was totally blind. He's so happy. He don't know what to do. Well, all those people in Jericho along the road that live there, they know for sure that this is a bona fide miracle. All those people traveling down have probably seen him year after year as he sat by the side of the road. So everybody, I mean, it just breaks loose, and everybody is dancing and hollering and shouting, and hallelujahs are on every hand. Glory to God is every place. You see, I'd like to see it break loose like that. Have you ever seen that break loose? I sure have. I remember one time I was playing the drums in Cleveland, Tennessee, sitting on the pulpit over on this side, no way to get down but the steps on that side, and all the people from Clendenin were sitting right over here in the corner, on the front corner of the seats. And all at once, while we were playing and singing, I was backing up a group called the Kitchen Family from over in Chattanooga. And all at once, the glory come down from heaven and hit that people. I kid you not, 30 people from this holler in this church jumped up at once and went to dancing. Well, when they did, I passed out. You say, where did you go? When I gone up on the pulpit, I had told them, I said, if somebody shouts up here tonight, it better be in the spirit, because we had electric cords going everywhere. And they were playing accordions and guitars and pianos. And when the spirit hit them and they all jumped up and danced, I passed out. But when I came to, I was down in the middle of the floor dancing in the spirit. You see, I don't believe in all that. Well, my friend, if you ever were blind and then could see, you'll believe in jumping and hollering just as loud as you can. And anyway, this created a big commotion. Enough commotion that this little Jewish fella who's a turncoat, who's chief of the sinners and ungodly people there in there, Mr. Zacchaeus, this devil of a man that everybody hates, hears the sound. He wants to know what's going on. They said, well, you know that old fella, Bartimaeus down by the road that always a hollering and taking up money, he's blind. He said, yeah. He said, well, Jesus, the preacher from Nazareth has come by and touched him and he's healed. He can see and they're all rejoicing. Well, something turns over in Zacchaeus' heart. Something in his spirit turns over and he says, I've just got to see this Jesus. So he goes out to the street, but he has a problem. He's only about this tall and he can't see. You've been to parades like that. I have when I was a kid, wanted to see Santa Claus going through Parisburg and all the grown people standing on the street. And here we are, little kids trying to catch the candy and the grown people's all in front of you and you can't see it. Well, that's what's happening to Zacchaeus. All the people are standing in the street and he can't see it. He's doing one of these numbers, trying to see over him and he can't. And he spies a sycamore fig tree sitting beside the road that has a limb sticks out over the road. And he, can you imagine how out of character this is for this man who's a Roman tax collector and filthy rich? He climbs a tree. He jumps up and climbs a tree and gets out on the limb. And Jesus is coming down the street right here. So if he's sitting up here on the limb, nobody's going to see him. He can hide among the leaves. And when Jesus comes up, he gets to see him. That's all he wants to do is see him. And as he sits there and Jesus comes down the road and Jesus is talking and the people are shouting, all at once the Lord stops. And everybody says, well, now what's going on? What's happening now? And everybody's watching. What's he going to do next? And Jesus is standing there and to everybody's surprise, Jesus has never met Zacchaeus. He's never been introduced to him. And yet as he stands there in the street and looks up, he knows exactly which limb he's sitting on. He knows exactly where he's at. And he says his name, Zacchaeus, come down, for I must go to your house and stay there. I must abide at your house. Zacchaeus is overjoyed. Down the tree he comes and runs and joyfully, see that? Joyfully receives the Lord into his house. And he gets to his house and he sets the table and the servants come out and they do it. And Jesus just laid a sermon on him and said, you dirty, low-down hypocrite and thing, you sorry, low-down person that's been a threat to your country and a traitor to your people and lived like the devil and got the money off of people dishonestly. No, Jesus don't do anything like that. Jesus comes in and sits down at Zacchaeus' table and he eats dinner with him. That's all he does. He don't preach. He don't holler. He don't condemn. He don't fuss. Hey, religious people, take that into your craw and chew on it a little while. Think about that. Jesus doesn't do any of that. What he does is show Zacchaeus that he loves him and that he accepts him. And while he's sitting there eating, he don't even get the meal done. Zacchaeus jumps up from the table, runs around and stands in front of him and calls him Lord and said, Lord, you know what I'm going to do? You know what I'm going to do? He said, I'm going to take half of everything I've got and I'm going to give it away to the poor. I mean, just like that. This man who all morning has been cheating people, robbing people, treating people bad, is now standing in front of Jesus saying, Lord, I'm going to give half of everything I've got to the poor. And then he says, and you know what else, Lord? You know what else I'm going to do? Everybody that I've stole anything off of, I'm going to give them back four times as much as I took. Now, the law didn't require him to do that much, but that's what he wanted to do. And you say, what in the world happened to him? Well, Jesus said it. Jesus said, this day is salvation come to this house. Now, my friend, I'm here to tell you this morning that Zacchaeus did not get religion. Zacchaeus got salvation. Religion could have done a lot of things. Religion would have kept him out of church because as a publican, he couldn't go into church. Religion would have made him boastful of his religion. Remember the man that came in and stood in front of the synagogue and said, Lord, I just thank you that I've been able to fast 3 days this week and I've been able to tithe everything I've got, and I sure do thank you. I'm not like this publican sitting back here in the back. And yet the publican sitting back there beating his chest and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And Jesus said he went down to his house justified. My brothers and sisters, let me tell you today, you don't need religion. You can get religion. I'm kind of sick seeing Pentecostal ministers on television wearing gorgeous robes, more gorgeous than the Pope himself. Let me tell you, wearing religious robes won't save you. Let me tell you something, dressing religious ways won't save you. But my friend, a meeting with the Lord Jesus Christ will bring salvation to your soul and will change everything in your life. And my friend, when Bartimaeus got healed, he didn't know how far that was going to reach. It's reached all the way to America where I'm preaching today. You think about it. And my friend, they delivered him from the evil of greed and the evil of being a thief and the evil of all the things he went. And my friend, this man's life has changed. That's the difference in salvation and redemption. And you know, I'm sorry to say that far too many people have gone forward in a meeting somewhere and have got religion, but they've neglected salvation. You need an experience of really meeting the Master. And that's why I said, Mr. Zacchaeus, meet the Master. When he met the Lord, it saved him. It saved everything about him. It started with his pocketbook and his heart, and it went everywhere in his life. And my friend, I invite you today, I invite the world today, not to have a religious experience, but to have a salvation experience. To have an experience that will change your life. I mean, it will change your thoughts. It will change your ways of doing things. And it'll make you sorry for what you've done. Now, it's not just enough to be sorry for what you've done, because you might just be sorry you got caught. But you have to be sorry enough in repentance to bring forth fruits meet for repentance, the Scripture said. And I look at this man here, and how can I judge that Zacchaeus has been in a salvation experience by the fruit that his life's bearing? How many of us willing to give away half of everything we got? How many of us willing to take the other half and divide it four times to everyone, for everyone that we do? And I remember, I shouldn't probably tell this now, but I will. It's nothing bad, but I was coming to church one Sunday morning, and there at Uncle Ted's, I hit Sister Toy's cat and killed it. And I felt bad about it, but I happened to know she didn't like having all them cats anyway. She had a lot of cats, and I had all them cats, and I went back and dug up the Old Testament scripture, told her I'd go down to Daddy's and get her four more cats just like that one and bring to her. She wasn't very happy with me obeying the scripture on that one. But let me tell you, folks, when your heart gets right with God, it'll change everything in your life. Amen. Everything will change in your life. And the invitation today, my friend, is not to come and get religion, but to come and experience salvation. He will change your heart and change your life. Father, I want to thank you today for all of your blessings and mercies. They're great and they're marvelous. I want to thank you, Father, for redeeming us. from a life of sin and not being profitable. I want to thank you, God, for every time you have redeemed every one of us. And I pray, Father, today that we will experience in this service and in our church, I pray that we will experience in our life, not a religious experience, but an experience of salvation and redemption. Lord, may your Spirit go with us and keep us. And Lord, as we come to the altar service of this service, may every heart be touched and every life be moved. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.